All right, everyone, welcome to season two of the old Switcheroo, where we're talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I'm Mike.
And I'm JMO. Join us on our epic quest to research and review all 200 plus games in the Nintendo Switch Online retro catalog. Today, we'll be meowing our way through Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on the Sega Genesis in an episode we are calling Welcome to the Next Level. We are joined once again by two very special guests, my younger brother, Jonathan. Say hello, Jonathan.
Hello, the listeners want me back, so I'm back.
He's back. And freshly 40, my older brother, Justin. How you doing, Justin?
41, but that's fine.
Oh, God! I considered texting just to be sure.
I mean, I wish it was 40, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Wait a minute. There's always... You're 2 years ahead of me.
We're already a month into the new year. Did you
realize this? Oh, no. I'm 39. Oh, no. I just realized I'm older than I thought I was.
No, you're That's 39 this October.
Wait, you're like, you're...
Wait, you are 39 right now, aren't you?
Yep.
Oh, that sucks for you.
Yep.
Wait, I'm not 39.
Okay. No, not 39. I don't feel bad anymore.
I'm 37, apparently.
No, you're going to be 39.
Oh, guys. We have a lot to say today, so we better go fast.
Oh, okay, whatever.
No, you're going to be 39.
I'm trying to move fast.
In any case, we're past 30, so everything sucks. Your body's terrible.
It sure does.
That's
it
the
sure
takeaway, kids. Your body does not work after 30.
You know what doesn't suck? Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
It is the best game that has ever been made in the history of games, and I do mean that. Okay. That is not unserious. That is a truth, and I will challenge anybody to fight me on this. You're wrong. That's all there is. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, let's spin dash our way into the description of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 as it is listed on the Nintendo Switch Online Retro Catalog. Now, normally I just read from this, but you guys got to see this on the screen. It's a strange description. This is how it's described in Nintendo Switch Online. Sonic returns to save the world in his second game, considered by many to be a series highlight for its enhanced speed and momentum. Tails the Twin-Tailed Fox also makes his debut, and the game features a two-player mode.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's straightforward, but I just feel like that end part just sort of feels like they weren't really enthused about it, you know?
The dude writing this has written 200 of these things? Yeah, he didn't. He was like, whatever.
It's funny. It even says software description provided by Sega. So that's like you couldn't get a hype man. Make it sound a little bit better.
Is that playtime your playtime, or is that an estimated playtime to beat the game?
That is how many times how long I've played this on my Nintendo Switch.
I thought they were very specific. Like, it could take about 2 hours and 27 minutes to beat this game.
Yeah.
It usually takes, it's about 2 hours.
Right. And now, Justin, like, I mean, the listeners, I'm sure, can tell you really, really like this game. This was a big game in the Strauss household. We played the heck
out of this game probably 3-4 times a year.
So you've beaten it easily, like, around 100 times.
Yeah, probably.
That's wild.
Woo.
I mean, maybe more, because I've definitely played it more frequently in the past too. So
when you do your multi times a year run through, like, are you like trying to speed run it, or are you like stopping and appreciating the levels and stuff?
Neither. I play it because it is a great game to run through from start to end.
Mm-hmm.
It has really cool sequences, fantastic music. And it's just a nice fluid game.
Yeah.
So like going from start to finish just feels nice. It's just a good game to kind of relax with for 2 hours.
And the familiarity too. It's got to be like a Zen state for you at this point.
Yeah. There's a lot of nice familiarity. But the other cool thing is that a lot of the levels are big enough that there are a lot of alternate routes. And like, I have a set sort of number of routes that I like taking, but sometimes I feel like just diverging a little bit and searching the level a little bit, and sometimes I do discover something I didn't remember very well.
Now, Jonathan, so I've bought this game over and over again. I've bought it, you know, Sonic Sega Genesis collections. I've downloaded it on the Wii. Jonathan, I don't know, have you played this game like since, you know, the cartridge days? Is this something you also revisit?
Yeah, didn't we play it on the Switch like one Christmas or something like that? I definitely have played this not that long ago.
I think you're thinking of the Sonic Mania four-player mode.
We played this at some point.
Yeah.
I remember the Oil Ocean.
Right. And Mike, did you not revisit it recently until this podcast? Because I know you played it as well as a kid. Yeah, although my playing it as a kid was somewhat limited in that it was really how much did I play either at other people's houses
Right.
or at Burger King.
Oh, that's
Oh,
right. Burger
nice.
King used to have the Sega Genesis is set up.
That's
The
so
Sega Genesis.
cool.
Yeah, which basically means that I know the things that show up in two-player mode, and basically like the first two zones, I think.
Right. Okay, so you have a lot of familiarity with the beginning of the game, but not so much later, because you're not going to spend, what did Justin say, about 2 hours? You're not going to spend 2 hours at Burger King, probably. At least,
Yeah, I mean, for your
unless
own
you're
health, hopefully.
unless you're in the bathroom. So we start off here with the box art, because that's often people's first impressions of games. And this is the Japanese box art, which, I mean, considering how much I love, the American one, this one feels like a bit of a step down compared to the North American box art.
Looks like a cereal box.
Yeah, it does. It's
He's
got,
like, Funko.
for those of you who aren't on watching this on YouTube, it's just Sonic and Tails, and they're sort of standing back to back, and it says Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Like, it's very, very straightforward.
I do kind of like the Sonic and Tails crossing at the eye.
Kind of clever.
Yeah, it's kind of written like a crossword puzzle sort of thing. Its most enduring legacy is this strange, almost poetic advice column in the top right-hand corner.
What the?
Oh, this is like a precursor to Sonic CD.
It sounds like the lyrics, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and waste your precious time. When you want to do something, do it right away. Do it when you can. It's the only way to live a life
I'm
without
gonna ignore the
regrets.
advice, even though it's very sound.
Yeah,
I
I'm like, this is an advertisement for a video game, right? Like, we're gonna sit on
mean,
the couch.
that was kind of Sonic's thing, though. It was always trying to encourage kids to actually get out and do physical things. Like,
Yeah.
that's kind of a legacy that I think people have forgotten Sonic had. He was a video game character, but he was also very much meant to be like a way to encourage kids to do stuff beyond video games.
You got Nintendo, what's it called? The Fit Switch. What's it called? The game with the exercise ring. Why am I spacing on this?
Nintendo Fit, I
Ring
The Fit it
Adventure.
yeah, Ring Adventure?
Ring Fit. Ring Fit
Ring
Adventures or something, yeah.
Well, the Nintendo Switch workout game, and Justin, you were trying it out, and the first thing you texted me was like, this would be so much more fun as a Sonic game. It's like
That game has parts where you run, and if you were Sonic, like running in place to make Sonic go forward, and then like doing like arm squeezes and stuff to make him jump or something, that would be freaking sweet.
it would be sweet.
You know,
I
arm
mean,
squeezes make me jump too.
That game could have been fantastic, but they didn't gamify it enough. That's always the problem with exercise games.
I agree.
They try to make it more exercise than game, and that's what makes it unfun.
Right. So this strange poem slash advice, its most enduring legacy is kind of a meme. I couldn't find any other appearance of it in official Sega merch except for this antique black plastic sewing box that's on eBay right now for
What?
$90.
Well, you know, Sonic is an avid sewer. He, you know,
Yeah,
he likes to make things for his friends because he certainly doesn't wear any clothes.
there's this YouTube poll online of like, who'd be the best at video games? And it was like SpongeBob or the kid from Adventure Time or Sonic, and everyone picked Sonic. And I had to be like, Sonic can't play video games at super speed because the game would still be the same speed.
Wasn't there an episode in Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog where he sucked at it too, actually?
Oh, is that true?
I think there was one where he like was terrible at video games
And he doesn't
because he
seem like the
couldn't.
guy who would be playing video games.
Yeah, because he couldn't. Yeah, he couldn't sit still, or he couldn't make the
He's
character
got
go fast
ADHD
enough
to
or
the
not move.
max.
I swear there was an episode like that.
If there isn't, there definitely should be. Oh my gosh, I will wax poetic about this for way too long. Jonathan, what do you think of this Sonic the Hedgehog 2 North American box art?
Oh, it's better. It's cooler. It's spooky.
Yeah, Dr. Robotnik in the top right-hand corner,
Wait,
looming over.
he's only got three fingers.
Three
He's
fingers and a
got
thumb,
four.
yeah.
His pinky might be back there behind the two.
I
I
guess it
guess
could
so.
be.
I
That's
never
a
noticed
weird way
that.
to. If you're gonna grab something, though, you're gonna tuck your pinky before you grab it. Like, that can make you jump. So there's like, he's squeezing this giant two with like this sort of like iron grip, and it's crumbling and cracking. And Sonic and Tails, once again, sort of standing with their arms crossed, but just in the cover. It's iconic. Which is, makes it no surprise that Paramount, paid tribute to it with
Yeah, that
their
is really cool.
poster, for Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the movie. Mike, you saw both the Sonic movies, right?
No, I saw neither of the Sonic movies.
What?
Be in part
Those are
because
great.
I went to go see the first one, and because I lived next to an arc light that is super expensive, I hadn't thought about it, and I was there on a Saturday, and it was like, oh, the ticket is going to be $20. I am going to come back during the week.
Like,
and so never did.
And then on Tuesday, they announced that all theaters were closed.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that was right before the world exploded.
And then I found out that it was in the drive-in movie theater on like a Thursday, and they closed those on the Friday. And it was like, dang it. So I tried
Those
like
drive-in
three
theaters?
times, where it's like, oh yeah, we're going to the theater tonight. And it's like, nope, no, we're not. They closed everything. Well, new plan.
The universe kind of decided you weren't going to see these movies.
Yeah, so it did not happen. So the closest I have come to seeing Sonic in a movie is his appearance
In
in
Chippendale.
the yeah in the Rescue Rangers movie.
Not even Wreck-It Ralph?
Oh,
Okay, yeah, that's true. Even with the proper voice actor.
yeah, but he doesn't feel like a character in that. He's just in there.
Right.
I mean, and you know, Mike, I saw you make a face. The meow thing is a reference to the first Sonic movie.
Yeah, that was
Is the...
awful.
Well, that's why you said that. I didn't
Yeah.
know
what you were referencing. I don't know what.
Yeah, that was a really like
Not a...
stretcheroo around the
That's a
corner
deep
there.
cut.
Let me pull this reference from 30, 30 angles away.
That's Blaze the cat, actually. So,
Oh.
because knowledge is Nintendo power, a segment Jonathan named for us, I got some trivia for you guys. This game was developed by Yuji Naka. He was the lead programmer.
Thank you, Yuji.
That's Yuji, yep. And despite the runaway success of the first game, he left Sega shortly after Sonic the original game was released due to disagreements with management over his schedule and salary.
Runaway success, really?
What? Oh, yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog runaway success. Yeah, it ran loops around the competition, Mike. Mike,
Ba-dum-ba-ba.
this is Mark Cerny. Now, this is the third time he's come up on our podcast. Do you remember which game this guy directed? Because I have a feeling he's going to keep coming up, so I'm going to keep quizzing you.
I am going to guess
You can do it.
Kid Chameleon.
Yeah, there we go. From episode zero, the director of Kid Chameleon was founder, one of the founders of the STI, that was the Sega Technical Institute. He acronyms. He traveled to Japan to convince Naka to come back to America and help him lead a team of American and Japanese programmers to make the sequel. The design process was tense, though, because the largely based California staff here did not speak Japanese. So nearly all of the American contributions were cut from the final release, causing level designer Craig Stitt to call Yuji Naka an arrogant pain in the ass. Mark Cerny left the company before the game was even finished, and the American and Japanese teams split to work on Sonic Spinball and Sonic 3 respectively. This is all according to Nick Thorpe from Retro Gamer Magazine. So I hear all that, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm shocked this game is as good as it is, considering that, usually when games have fraught development, it's really buggy and like a poor release.
Well, one guy took it over and did everything, right? So that's probably why it's good.
And deleted everything the Americans made, yeah.
He's like,
Yeah,
delete, delete,
get
delete.
rid of everything the Americans make is usually a good choice. Look at Godzilla.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
The original game had time travel elements, and that would later become a central mechanic of Sonic CD. So the player would have been able to travel back in time originally, which is why,
Does he just run backwards around the earth?
like
Yeah,
Superman
it's
style,
like Superman.
when you go fast enough, time does your bidding.
you get the time stones. So if you notice, pretty much all the levels are kind of split. There is past levels like Aquatic Ruin and Hilltop Zone. That's supposed to be a primordial version of Emerald Hill. And then you got the future where Robotnik has taken over, where you got Chemical Plant, Oil Ocean, and Casino Night. So that's a concept that had been percolating for a while.
That's cool.
The yeah, it's pretty cool. I never really realized that the levels were sort of themed as either rampant technology or like technology being pretty much absent. So I thought
Yeah.
it was kind of cool. This game made its public debut for a lot of people on one of the Strauss's favorite shows when we were kids, Nick Arcade.
Oh yeah. Oh, bring it back.
The
Why?
kids were always so terrible on that show. They
Oh
made
good,
it bad when
so
you knew the game.
cool.
Because you were like, oh, why'd you lose in 30 seconds? No.
They're so bad.
It's funny you mentioned that because Sonic the Hedgehog 2 was shown to the public on a special celebrity episode.
Wait
of
a minute.
Nick Arcade.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, that's Clarissa Explains It All, isn't it?
Yes. And that is her, whoever plays her brother.
Yeah.
This is Melissa Joan Hart from Clarissa Explains It All.
And that's Michael Lund on the left as her brother.
Like, so she played a early beta version of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It was the Emerald Hill level, but with the Starlight Zone music, Justin. Do, 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 do.
I mean, right? That's the best music that a video game has ever had, so I can understand why they put it in.
It had badniks that would later be deleted from the game. The snail badnik never made it into any version of the final game. And much to the chagrin of her teammate Jason Zimbler, aka the Ferg, Melissa was unable to make it through the first loop de loop because she didn't know how to use the spin dash ability. So we'll put a link in YouTube, right, Mike, so people can see this for themselves. It's
they showed that episode. They didn't. No one said like, "Yo, that looks terrible," or "Game's gonna look really bad. Can you play again?" Like,
yeah, that's just the thing.
That went to live.
Yep, that went. It's
yeah, they were pretty harsh. You would think they would have like given them like a chance to play the game for a couple seconds before trying it, but no, they were harsh.
It kind of makes me impressed at like the integrity of Nick Arcade, because it's like, oh, like they didn't get to try this multiple times, which is why the whole green screen thing was always a disaster. They could never like get through those challenges.
Right, they got to do that. That was, oh man. Do we have a Nick Arcade episode?
Mike.
I mean, I don't see why we can't necessarily. That wasn't an amazing show.
Yeah.
Patreon like only.
Ah, there you go.
Ooh, I like this idea.
So, one more thing about Sonic the Hedgehog 2 trivia. It revolutionized the gaming industry because it was the first game to have a single release date across all regions. Normally, you would roll a game out slowly, so like New York would get it like a couple weeks before California would get it. And I think the idea was that it was like, okay, that way you're getting more headlines, but this was November 24th promoted as Sonic Tuesday.
Nice.
And it was a Tuesday, I assume?
It was a Tuesday. And they had 30 people in Sonic the Hedgehog costumes greet the plane that was carrying the shipment. Which I like to imagine the pilot wasn't warned in advance, you know what I mean?
Like, he's like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
These people are here to kill me.
It's a legion of furries approaching the plane. So based on the success of Sonic Tuesday, that then inspired Mortal Monday. And after that game was such a hit on its, you know, simultaneous release, the rest is history, and that's why games are released everywhere on the same day.
Mortal Monday just seems really depressing.
Yeah.
The day that everybody finds to the death.
Especially with the prepare yourself. That just,
I mean, you know.
Is that for the first Mortal Kombat?
Yep. Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo, Genesis, Game Gear, and Game Boy.
Surprised they were so confident in that.
Yeah, I mean, well, at this point, you know, the arcade. So this is the Mortal Monday, the release of the home version. Yeah, the arcade had already taken the world by storm. So they knew it was going to sell like gangbusters.
Yeah, okay.
So speaking of gangbusters, I mean, you know, let's just get right into it. The Joy Pros versus the Joy Cons. So Justin has basically stated that this is a perfect game, right?
Yep. No question. I never say anything is perfect, but it's a 9.5.
Like, just give it a 10 and make that.
Yeah, just give it a 10, Justin.
If I have to round it up, it's a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to. I'm making you.
I you know, I'm hard pressed to say anything gets a perfect 10 because I mean,
well, that's not perfect. Well, a 10 is the highest score, but it's not perfection because that's impossible. That's what we're saying.
Right.
Yeah,
he's saying
yeah.
Mathematically, scientifically, it can't
then yes, if we're going with that, it's definitely a 10.
Yeah.
Maybe an 11.
But it's a masterclass in 2D graphics and sound. That was so dorky. Oh, my God.
You're doing a Nintendo Switch podcast.
That's true.
A dork.
It wasn't just that. It's the level design, too. And also, there's key moments that are just awesome, like the first time you run into some of the enemies and the bosses.
Yeah, it's really, it feels iconic, you know, even I think like the first time you're playing through it.
Like they're still making toys of the bosses from this game.
Yes, you just bought one. You got the Lego of the final boss fight.
But even, not even the final boss, like some of the regular bosses, like from this level, he has the giant smasher mallet. That's a toy they just made recently.
Cool, super cool. So did the Lego set, how much did it cost, or was it a gift?
That one I think was like $50. It wasn't that
that's
bad.
Not, that's not terrible. Lego. For Lego sets, that's not terrible.
Yeah.
I really love that, Lego got the Sonic license because, all of Robotnik's machines, we all as kids thought, how fun would it be to like build those and drive those around. I just think though, this game has aged so well. The colors are so bright, the motion is so fluid, it's so fast, at least unless you're playing two-player mode. I think it looks amazing. Does anyone else have any ideas or thoughts on the look of the game before we go to the controls?
It looks really, really good.
It looks really, really good, right?
It really does.
Are you talking about like design elements
Or
too?
graphics, yeah, just the look, the sound of it. I mean, what a soundtrack.
Yeah, I would say like the enemy designs are pretty great too, because they're all very distinctive.
And themed to the levels.
Yeah, and you can kind of easily remember all of them. You know kind of exactly what each of the enemies is probably going to do to you when you see it.
And like from a storytelling wise, the enemies being that they are robots that are trapping a innocent creature inside, and you need to break the robot to free the creature. So much more satisfying.
Yeah, they're using the life force of the animal to power them.
And you break it, goes doo, boo. Wait, hold on, I can do this.
Poop.
Nope. Okay, I can't do it. But anyway, it makes this really satisfying pop sound effect, and then a little animal hops away to safety. So much more satisfying than jumping on a Goomba. That always felt kind of mean-spirited to me.
The one thing I will give Mario is it is fun to kick a turtle shell at other turtles and watch them explode,
True,
but.
true. I want to say, I think there's an academic argument that this is the greatest single button game of all time. Like, for what you can do with just that one button, I see Mike thinking, he's like, Centipede. He's thinking like all these arcade games. But just the sheer accuracy of Sonic's jumps, the way that you can just, while you're running, just kind of roll up into a ball to take out what's ahead of you. And then the spin dash attack they added to this game, you crouch and wee, 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 and you shoot off. That's better than the modern system of just pressing a button to instantly dash. Because if you can instantly dash into enemies and just kill them that way, it removes a lot of the sense of danger. It almost feels like you're overpowered.
Yeah,
I think the spin
they
dash.
become like cardboard cutouts. Like, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, literally, Sonic Forces, they literally just stand there. Yeah,
Awesome.
I do nothing. Now that game has its other problems.
Yeah, that's its own bucket of bolts.
But I like the spin dash because you have to build it up, so it's like you need to invest that moment and potentially make yourself vulnerable because you're not moving.
Well, you could go into that from a run.
Yeah. The controls completely change it up in the 3D bonus stages.
Oh yeah.
These, I still think they're thrilling.
They're so cool.
Yeah. Everybody when Sonic 3 came out thought that their bonus stages were great. I didn't ever get the appeal of those because I thought this was way more interesting.
What was Sonic 3's?
Sonic 3 was collecting the orbs on the,
Like the globe.
you were like on a giant sphere and you had to run in squares.
Yeah. And if you collected an orb twice, it would game over you. So you have to hit all the blue orbs in a 3D space without touching the same one twice.
Okay.
This one here has like the cool runnings appeal. I think that's why we liked it so much. We were all into bobsled around that
It's
time.
a behind Sonic and Tails perspective, and the track is like snaking and it's diving, and you can go up one side of the half pipe and land back on the other side because Sonic has just done a complete loop. It's the only, like, or one of the only Sonic bonus stages that actually is about a sense of speed. So I don't know why this isn't like the unequivocal favorite. Even the developers liked the original games better, apparently, because they thought it was more interesting gameplay-wise.
I think you spend too much time in the air when you jump. I think that frustrates me on this one.
Well, you can tap it to do like a hop.
You can vary the jump depending upon how much you press, and you have pretty good control over your jump. That's what I like about Sonic 2's control system, is you get very precise control over your jumps.
And that's why I think that single button gameplay works so well. Supersonic made its debut in this game.
Oh yeah.
Which was also badass.
I mean, how hype is that?
This game
So
had so
cool.
many debut elements for Sonic that were just ultimately super awesome.
Yeah, and just stayed forever since then.
Yeah.
Mike, did you ever get Supersonic?
No.
Oh, okay. So, the bonus stages, you are trying to make it to the end, collect enough rings to get a Chaos Emerald. I'm guessing you got at least one Chaos Emerald.
Yes. However, those get harder as you go, and the game gets harder as you go. And so I deliberately, at a certain point, avoid the bonus section because I need the rings so badly.
We should maybe take care of this now then. Mike, did you beat Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
No, I lost on the first part of Death Egg.
Okay. Oh, so you got to the very, very end. And Mike is not using Rewind. Mike is not using modern functionality. He's trying to play it like kids did in the 90s, just for context. Jonathan, have you ever beaten this game start to finish?
Yeah, we come out. I'm
Okay,
usually,
I just double check, and you Nintendo.
probably only like two or three times. Whoa, what's going on there?
Sure. Oh, I'm doing the. You get the sound effect. You we're talking about a game that you've beaten.
I get a sound effect for that? Yeah,
Yeah, you want to hear it again?
play that again. Nintendo. What? What did that say?
It's like from a Japanese Nintendo commercial. And
Oh,
Justin,
Nintendo.
I considered splicing this sound and repeating it 100
Yeah,
times.
I was gonna say
Do
play it
it.
100 times for him right now.
Let's do it right now with your finger. Go.
No.
Yeah, that's like 10. Keep going.
No,
Yeah,
Hey, Mike. You got something to ask me, buddy?
you have a nice weekend.
I Nintendo did. I also beat this game. And I'm going to play it again because I beat it twice. Once as Sonic and once as Knuckles. We'll talk about that
Oh,
later. But Justin, I knew you would never accept this if I used rewinds. So I beat the game twice without rewinding. Are you proud of me?
yes.
Yay!
Although, admittedly, you get so many lives in this that rewinding is, I would consider, actually not that bad because it's kind of the same as just getting another life that you have a billion of. He still has 18 in that picture right there.
Well, it's also funny if you look at this picture, getting back to the supersonic conversation. So, if you get make it to the end of a bonus stage, you get a Chaos Emerald. If you get all seven Chaos Emeralds, which is possible in the first zone of the game, the first level has three entries, the checkpoints. You jump through the stars and the checkpoints, and the second stage has five. So you can actually get all seven in stage one. And then what it does, Mike, is that Supersonic, in addition to, kind of becoming Super Saiyan like Kongo from Kongo's Caper, he is completely invincible. He instantly goes up to max speed, but the rings steadily drop. Every second you lose a ring, and if you get to zero, you are no longer Supersonic. And then it's also interesting because like now you're vulnerable, right? Now you're regular Sonic with no rings. So it's this cool trade-off that has become the mechanic for pretty much every boss fight in the Sonic 3D era. I'm showing them a picture of the boss from Sonic Adventure 1 to Sonic Heroes and even Sonic Frontiers. All of these really epic battles, you're playing as super versions of the characters flying around, and you basically just have to hit them enough times before you hit zero. So yeah, just Supersonic is super hype. I just really freaking love it. Anything to say about the controls or the supersonic mechanic? Because I have a little kind of, I guess I'm gonna call it a game. I have a different section coming up here. Ready to go to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Mike looked like he had something to say,
I didn't
so.
know if we're still on general prose of the game or where you're going with this.
This will kind of segue in between. So if you have something that's exclusively positive, you should say it now.
Then I think one that we've kind of talked about, but was worth talking about more. I think the music in this is
Oh, yeah.
incredibly good.
Yeah.
And I think possibly the best example of that to me is how just viscerally effective the drowning music is. Don't bring it
Which again was recalled in Sonic 2.
It was recalled in the movies. Yeah. And then
Or
the Robotnik
Sonic 2,
boss
the
fight.
movie, I mean.
Yeah, it's just one of the things that was saying as I was playing, just the music on all of this is just so solid.
And I think that like these are some of maybe the best set of Sonic 2, the best set of boss fights in any game, because the Robotnik fights, in addition to that music, it's just it's so hype, so intimidating. But those boss fights against Robotnik, which we're going to talk about in just a second, they always feel like unfair in the sense that like you feel like Robotnik is cheating. He's hiding below lava or behind blast doors. He's disrespecting like ancient ruins with a huge mallet. So it's this storytelling where like you really want to beat the crud out of him.
It's like Robotnik's kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
Wait a minute.
but it's and you're being sarcastic, but that's not the sense you really get from like Bowser. Bowser, it's sort of like two rivals. This is like this polluting, cheating, like weaselly. He's really great. So, we'll have to do this kind of quickly because there are a lot of them, but I wanted to make a Sonic 2 zone tier list. So I'm really happy that Mike got to the end here. We'll just kind of go through them super quick. We're gonna rank them S through E tier. I don't think this game has any D or, F tier levels, personally.
No.
Like, I don't think it has a bad level.
You didn't put an F on there. You put an E.
I didn't,
If
it's
you were
ridiculous.
gonna, that's the thing. If you're gonna put a D, it would probably be the Sky Zone.
Sky Chase.
Sky Chase.
It's kind of a pain in the booty.
But at the same time, that level is genius in the way that it breaks up the action and is unique from the others, so I can't say.
And it's kind of like a skill check.
Yeah,
It's like,
it's
can
not
you
that
beat it?
fun to play, but it's so different from the rest of the game.
So, for those who haven't played it, in this level, you are standing on top of the biplane being driven by Tails the Fox. And you move, but like Tails needs to sort of stay under you at all times. So your movement is like restricted. And if you run forward, Tails will speed up to stay underneath you.
But if you go too fast, you will fall right off his plane.
You can't fall off his plane in
Yes, you
Sky
can.
Chase. What?
If you go at top speed from right to left or left to right, either way, once you get to the other side of the screen, you'll fall off because you're going too fast.
Really? That never
Or
happened to me.
if you do a spin dash, you'll fly off.
Well, and the other thing is that this level doesn't have a boss fight. It's just a single stage.
Yeah, it's a single stage. But yeah, the fact that you're restricted and have to stay on his plane and it moves at a set speed, that's one of the reasons I kind of don't like it as much.
I was sort of amused with, I watched a speed run of this just because I wanted to see how someone who does this well does this.
Right.
And because this is just sort of an auto scrolling level, you can apparently just go to the very upper left of the corner, upper left corner, and nothing hits you. And so the speedrunner was taking selfies during the game's done quick.
Yeah, because this is also this level is always going to take a set amount of time.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing he can do. So he just basically parked the plane and then is taking selfies on stage with the support people he had up there.
I'd like to make the case to keep it out of D tier though, because it gave us the moment of Sonic riding on top of Tails' plane, and that's just
Yeah.
such a Sonic image.
Well, and the other nice thing is that it sets up a really nice twist, not for the next level, but the next one after that.
Yeah, so let's hold off on that then. We'll talk about that.
Just to say for this one, since it breaks up the speed of the game, it forces you to play differently. It sets in your mind this idea that, oh, this is the penultimate level.
Right.
This is different because we're getting to the serious
Oh,
ending.
I see what you're saying. It's a good fake out.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
that's
really good
cool.
fake out. And it builds a little bit of sort of bondage with Tail. Tails.
Your tail. I think I've seen that video.
Oh no, that's
Whoa,
out there. I
secrets are
guarantee
real. No, but it bonds you with Tails because you're relying on him to keep you safe with the plane.
Yes. I'm sorry, we're being jerks. We knew exactly what you meant. So let's kind of go through these in order then, if you don't mind. So starting with Emerald Hill, I don't think it's an S tier because I don't think it's as
No.
iconic as the Green Hill. And I
No.
also think it's kind of a boring level. So I'm gonna say B
Put in
tier.
B, put in B.
I'd actually put it in C even, because it is,
Ooh.
you're right,
Oh,
it's
yeah.
relatively boring compared to everything else. It works good as a first level.
Okay, so that's Mike, B or C. You're deciding vote.
I'd go B. I actually think it's one of the stronger levels.
Okay.
It's a good intro.
Chemical plant. Jonathan, what do you think?
That gets an A.
I was gonna say S. I
It's
think.
freaking sweet, but also there's a little bit too much water.
Oh, you mean Mega Mac? Yeah, so let's actually kind of go through this here. Emerald Hill Zone had the coconut throwing monkey enemies and the fish and the buzzer. Chemical Plant Zone, according to the description, the toxic liquid filling Chemical Plant Zone is called Mega Mac. Does anyone understand? Is that a what is that supposed to remind us of
I
something? What is Mega
don't
Mac?
It's more than Mac.
MACK. Yes, thank you.
Like a Mac.
And much more than a Micro Mac.
Yeah, I don't know what that could even be referencing.
I think though the music in this stage
The
is
music is
amazing,
excellent.
and I love the boss fight of, Robotnik is sucking chemicals up from the floor beneath you to drop on your head, and so you can get hit by his chemicals dropped on your head, or you can fall through the holes.
See, I would argue that makes it the worst boss fight, though.
Oh, no way.
Because the dropping through the holes is so anti what you want to do with Sonic.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that boss fight at all.
Yeah, like I'm kind of 50-50 on it, which is why I say like an A. Like great music, you
Okay.
get pretty good speed, but like yeah, like your fun is over if you get stuck in that one pit where you gotta climb out, you gotta boop boop boop, and you have to wait for those
Yeah.
little cubes to line up. It slows it down so much.
That's yeah, nobody likes playing the Sonic water levels. Fortunately, that's one of the reasons why Sonic 2 is so fantastic, because it gives you lots of opportunity to never touch those. But yeah, like Jonathan
If
said,
you
if you screw up
do.
once, you're in the shit. Like,
I just remember as a kid feeling like, oh my God, I'm swimming through chemicals. That's so like vile, and I felt like a sort of it felt scarier.
the bright pink does kind of make your eyes burn without even being in the chemicals.
Yeah, it's just almost like yeah, it's like a simulation almost.
There's a visceral reaction
So
to it.
can I just make a case though that this should be S because what else is S? What's better than this?
Casino night.
No.
No, Casino Night's
Casino
not
night.
S. That'd
I mean,
be
look at the pictures I sent you for Casino Night.
Honestly, even I think the last one is also better than this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
Death Egg is definitely the S.
Okay, so let's not get ahead of ourselves then. You guys okay leaving Chemical Plant as an A tier?
The song is so good.
It
You
is so
got
good.
yeah, it's definitely A.
A.
Because it has some really good speed sections to it too, where you go really
Yeah.
fast through a bunch of
You go through the
loops, and it's
tubes.
really satisfying.
So Casino Night, I think it deserves definitely upper tier ranking because, Sonic Pinball, it created a whole other game.
I would put it at B because while it did create that, it breaks up your speed to a little too much, in my opinion.
And only one type of bad, Nick.
Yeah, I agree.
That is also kind of sad for it too, but
Yeah. So I think the lack of a Badnik keeps it out of A tier.
I think that is the only one of these that I legitimately remember my enemy became time.
Cause yeah, but
Yeah,
you're a
you bounce
pinball boy
around.
though. We remember your dad was the bad boy of the pinball hall. Like you have a
There's a 2-hour podcast about
for
pinball by
not playing
D-Wing.
this that much. There's parts of this that I remember I legitimately would run the risk of not getting through certain areas, and like I appreciated that challenge of
All
it.
right, so Mike, sounds like you're S tier, but I think the rest of us have landed on B, correct?
It does deserve credit for having a great appearance, and the music goes really nicely with it too.
For sure, for sure. Aquatic Ruin, I kind of B or C to me.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I would say you could put it in C.
Is it's like what fun part? So what I liked about Aquatic Ruin is two things. One, I like the enemies. You have three different types of enemies. You have Chop Chop, which are like these barracuda fish. Wisp is like this swarm of little bugs. And when those things start chasing you, it feels different than like all the other enemies because they will go through the environment to keep on you. And then also the boss fight. The boss fight is Robotnik using this giant mallet to wail on these totem poles, and the totem poles shoot arrows at you. So it's like good storytelling. Like I said before, he's disrespecting this, holy space. You get that sense. But it's just not, it's kind of a boring fight. You're not really even an
Remember,
A.
if you're playing with two people, you just sit there and let Tails do everything because Tails doesn't knock down the arrows.
That's right.
So
Yes,
it's like
Tails is
even
right.
more passive for the Sonic player. You just go
Okay.
handle it, Tails.
And again, it runs the risk of the water is there, and you run the risk of getting stuck.
There's a lot of water.
You can avoid it completely, but there's a good chance you'll end up stuck in it, which sucks.
Yeah.
C tier?
Yeah,
I
I'd
say
say
C.
All right. Hilltop Zone. This was the game we used to joke about this because this was the game we'd always stop playing at. Like
The
it's
level.
the I'm sorry, did I say game? Yeah, the level. It's sort of like there's nothing really good or that bad about it in my mind. The dinosaur, Loch Ness
Dinosaur's
monster Badnik
cool.
is kind of cool. Yeah. I like his name, Rexxon. It's like that's a play on Texon, right?
They're Exxon Mobil.
Exxon Fuel. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
But this is also the boss fight though where you can kill him in like less than 5 seconds because he rises out of the lava, and if you just jump and stay on him, you will hit him enough times that he's dead before he goes back in. Clearly they didn't they you know they t they programmed that wrong. He
I don't
should not have
know.
stayed
You
on.
know, I if you stay in the fight for a little bit, it's kind of fun too, the way he pops up and shoots a couple of different things, but I kind of appreciate that they put that option in there,
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a fun part of
It
like
lets
this.
you play the boss how you want, so to speak.
Yeah. So does anybody feel strongly about this one? Because I could put it kind of anywhere.
I'd put it in probably C. It is pretty forgettable, and it's not that much different from Emerald Hills.
Yeah, I think for the plesiosaur-like thing that seems neat, is also, you never actually have to deal with them. Like, I just...
No.
Yeah, you can just ignore them.
But it's kind of cool. You kill them and you get a platform out of them.
It is kind of cool. Yeah, that is a cool aspect.
And this level also has the crushing areas that were really stressful. So I feel like maybe it's a B.
Yeah, the lava is rising. I think B.
You can relax on those gondolas for like a minute.
Oh, yeah. Tick, 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 tick. Yeah.
They did provide a nice break. Yeah, it was kind of like 2 seconds of like, oh, I don't have to worry.
And it has really good, really good music.
Although, it would also suck when Tails set off your gondola and you're looking at it, you're like, oh, damn it, Tails.
That was the thing I was reminding. That was frustrating.
I'd like to say minimum B tier.
I would say maximum B tier.
I would agree with Jonathan there.
Yeah, I'd say C. I would put it yeah. C.
All right, so that's all Bs, then one C, so it'll be a B tier. Mystic Cave Zone. Kind of cool. Kind of cool.
The music is really good there, but the level is kind of annoying.
The level's kind of junk, but here's the thing I like. The whole place feels spiky. Like, there's just spikes you can stab yourself on everywhere.
Like, everywhere.
It's kind of appropriate for a cave.
Yeah, it's claustrophobic.
Yeah, it feels way different from the other other levels because of that.
Yeah, and also like the boss fight, because Robotnik is drilling into the ceiling and making stuff fall on your head. So it's like his drills can damage you, or you have to watch, you know, from above. So I think I kind of want to make a case for A tier. I think it's as well themed as Chemical Plant and has, you know, almost as many memorable pieces.
I'd say the level design is not as good. It breaks itself up too much.
I feel like I would go A, actually, because from more experience with this as the two-player thing, because this is one of the three that was available in that.
Yes.
This ended up being really fun, in part because you have a lot of the platforms to grab on, and doing that with two-player where it's, they just totally grabbed the vine that was going to lift me up, and now I'm in trouble. It felt like you had this real interesting trade-off of, do I go and activate a thing, and then they pass me? Or do I go for speed a slightly different way?
What Mike's referring to is that in the two-player race mode, you can open up different paths, which is the same in the single-player mode. But like, if you're racing, you don't want to be on the lever opening the path for someone to run past you. Mm-hmm. So it's like this fun kind of timing elements to it. Same thing with like the rotating crates. You kind of got to pick your moment of when to go through to avoid getting crushed. So I think Jonathan's a deciding vote. Mike and I are A. Justin's B. Where's it going to go, Jonathan?
I say let's put it into A, because even though I think it is kind of annoying, it's annoying in its intentionality. Like you said, it's supposed to be claustrophobic. There's spikes everywhere.
Right.
The music is cool. And the boss is just so on theme. It's like, come on, that's awesome. He's trying to kill you with stalactites.
Yeah, I'm okay with it being A.
Yeah, and he's drilling. He's, again, disrespecting the earth. Like, it's pretty rad. Out of context. Oil Ocean. I always remember because Jonathan, back in the day when we had like iPods? Is that what it called? Yeah, the original Apple Music players or whatever. You had a banger like remix of this. Like it was like a techno Oil Ocean remix. But this one always like, I like this level. The color palette is very orange and bright. So you feel the sort of heat of sort of the Middle East. And then, you know, you're literally, it's an ocean of oil. It feels so like, polluted, like beyond saving.
Yeah, the color palette and the appearance, you feel hot and grimy while you're in this level.
Yeah, and there's lots of jets of flame. I don't love the boss. It's kind of a second take on the hilltop zone. Yeah, he's just, once again, another little submarine just rising in and out.
Yeah, he is probably the weakest boss.
So I think that drops it from A to B tier for me. But I like Oil Ocean.
I don't know. I'd probably put an A because, like we said, the thematic elements are fantastic. And then the music is just one. It is amazing.
Oh, my God. Wait, I have to play it. Okay, I know this might not work. Hold on. Yeah, but listen. Okay, so we were having some sound issues. I don't know if this is going to be able to hear it. But you guys got to listen to the Oil Ocean soundtrack again. Because it triggered a memory in us. Listen to this here. Okay. So when we were kids, there was someone playing Pokemon Stadium, playing a mini game where he chopped the middle of a log perfectly, and he goes, I got the middle. Remember that, Jonathan?
Yeah, why does that have to do with this?
Listen, there it is.
Oh, the...
I got the middle.
Yeah, I guess. It's like three or four notes. It's going to happen.
That wasn't worth it at all. All right. A or B tier? Stay on topic, Mike. Oil Ocean.
I think it's C.
What?
Black does not like Oil Ocean.
I don't like Oil Ocean either, so I'm okay with it being B tier.
Okay.
It's just like goopy and it's stressful and I hate it.
Okay. I mean, that's the point,
I think
though.
There's too much that kind of, it doesn't feel like it has as much of a flow to it. Although I will say, and I don't that know flow. If this is a strength to it, but I do enjoy that when I got through this on the boss level, I was down to no rings and fell into the ocean, because you don't sink. You can kind of, or you sink slowly.
Yeah. It's oil.
Yeah. I didn't jump out of the oil. I just kind of tapped just enough to not sink further and he can't hit me. And then I just waited down there until he'd come up each time.
Yeah.
Cause all his attacks are on the platforms.
That's how you beat the boss easy. That's how I beat it every time I play it.
I just did that for the, like, I'm not dead yet. And this is working.
No, that is my strategy for fighting that boss. I literally just pound the button in the oil until he pops up and I hit him a couple times and repeat.
Metropolis Zone, Robotnik's capital city.
Pretty sweet.
This is a cool one because it's the only level to have three zones.
Yeah, I realized this game has a triple fake out actually because of this.
Right, you think this is going to be the final level.
Yeah, it has three levels and it looks very similar to Sonic 1's final levels. So you're totally thinking like, oh, this is Sonic, Robotnik Stronghold. This is where the final boss is.
Right. And, you know, Mike reads the manuals for these podcasts, so he can confirm that, you know, it describes all the levels for you. So it is kind of ruining these great fakeouts, Justin. You're absolutely right. But in the beginning of the manual, when they're showing the controls and just the premise of the game, there's a picture of Sonic just looking at the giant egg robot, the giant Robotnik. And I was like, you ruined that in the booklet? Like, that's such a great moment.
Was there one? That's too bad.
Yeah, it's like, what a mistake. The Metropolis Zone having three stages really makes it feel, like, laborious to get through. It's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, there's this whole extra section. And all the levels are really well designed. Interesting enough, in research, I discovered that the reason there are three was actually not to make it feel more epic and hard to get through. It's because one of the levels was, if you guys remember in the sound test, there's a couple of sound files for deleted levels. One of them is called Genocide City. And that's one of the American levels that got erased by the Japanese staff.
They're like, no.
Yeah, that was a good choice.
They did keep one of the acts, and that became the third act of Metropolis Zone. They just changed the theming.
Huh, why did it look exactly like the others then?
No, like the layout, I mean. The Genocide City, if you look up pictures of it, it's like this really poorly conceived, like, rooftop kind of themed level. Which isn't really great for Sonic. They converted it, yeah.
Okay.
Metropolis Zone, though, it iconic with its three zones. Really good music.
Oh, that's why there's that weird tilting. There's that part at the end where you run over these weird tilted tops. Those must have been rooftops.
Those were rooftops. Isn't that crazy? I taught you something you didn't know. You played this game 100 times.
And that's why you fall down between them. Oh, that's interesting.
And you go through over and over again. It was originally a city stage.
Oh. Yeah, you were falling between the buildings and running. Oh, okay, yeah, that makes a lot more sense why that weird section is in there.
Yeah, it definitely is. I don't want to say anachronistic, but it's asynchronous. It's something. It stands out. A tier. I say A tier for Metropolis, maybe even S. What do you guys think?
It gets A tier for throwing you off. Yeah, for sure.
Why aren't we going S tier? Like, what would you change about Metropolis?
It does have a few points where there's too much lava, too many, like, platforming
sections. You can get stuck on one of those elevators and avoid the star use for a little bit too long. You're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, the gears with the stars was cool, but yeah.
I would also like to complain about the star use.
Yeah, too many star use.
Yeah, so this level, all three badniks, all three enemies look like Pokemon.
They do.
There's one that looks exactly like Staryu. There's one that looks exactly like Kingler, and one that looks a lot like Scyther. It's kind of strange.
Well, I think you mean the Pokemon look exactly like them.
Right. Yes, this preceded it, yes. Yeah.
I think there's a solid case for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 to now sue Pal World.
Ah,
exactly.
The transitive property. But so A tier, we good with A tier?
I mean, I honestly would put this D.
Oh, Mike doesn't like it.
What's happening?
I can pinpoint the point where I'm like, this should never be here.
Which is what?
The points where I would have to be like inching my way up one of the, where you're spinning the nuts up the bolts and you're just having to work your way up slowly because there's all the the Staryu's on the side, ready to attack. And it's just like,
it sucks.
I'm having to like sneak my way past these. And it's like, I'm spending all this time just slowly inching my way up so that they're about to attack and then dropping down so they don't hit me. And
it's like, very unsonic.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that unless Tails is setting them off.
Oh.
Some of them, they wouldn't. Some of them, they would. And then, so it may just be where Tails' positioning was.
Yeah, Tails can screw you on that for sure.
So for those that haven't played it in a while, what they're referring to is that there's this enemy that's a starfish, and it's basically like a proximity mine. When you get close enough to it, it will start to float in your direction and then explode, shooting spikes in 5 different star-like pattern. And I remember, Mike, as a kid, I didn't play through it this way this time, though, but you could slowly sneak your way up to trigger it without getting hit. But on these playthroughs, I just went full speed and did not get hit by them. But I think, Mike, did you turn off the AI-controlled partner when playing alone?
No.
Okay, so that is one of my Joy-Cons of this game, is that, you know, it was heavily advertised as a 2-player game, but if you play alone, the default mode has Tails following you, controlled by AI, and he basically just mimics what you do like half a second later. And like Justin said, it does screw up some things. That section is one of them.
I feel like that's the quintessential way to play, and I never turn off Tails because
I always turn off Tails.
He is the young kid learning from you. Of course he's going to screw you over here and there.
Yeah.
You know, he makes the wrong choice. Tails, don't stand over by those stars. Oh, no!
Jonathan, do you turn off Tails? Or do you turn on Tails?
I think I turn on Tails. Oh, yeah. I start looking for Knuckles.
There we go!
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's wrap up this tier list here. Wing Fortress, that is where Sky Chase leads you. So, towards the end of the game, after Metropolis Zone, you are riding on Tails' biplane, and then that's the Sky Chase Zone. We've already ranked at C tier. And then at the start of the next stage, Wing Fortress, Tails gets shot down. Lasers are flying. It hits the plane. You see Tails crashing, and you have to. This is part of a cutscene. Sonic jumps off onto Wing Fortress as Tails crashes, and the player...
No, you don't have to jump off. You can go down with Tails.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
You can, and I did. That's a very important thing to note. The cutscene...
Mike has no sense of self-preservation.
I didn't know it had switched to now I'm doing things until... And then it's like, oh, I'm supposed to jump off at this point. I thought we're still in, like, opening animation.
Just...
Is that going to be part of the stream when I watch that footage later?
I did 2 playthroughs, so the first time I learned that, so when I did the second time, which is the one that I streamed, I knew to jump off the plane, because I knew that, like, it had started again.
So I don't like this level, though. I'm going to say C tier, just because... You know, it's so full of bottomless pits, which makes sense. You're up in the sky. You know, you fall, you're gonna die from pretty much anywhere. But that just makes it so you never really feel safe going fast. And there's only one type of badnik, the clucker, who's just this little turret.
But see, I would say that puts it... I'd put it at A tier.
A tier?
Because the fact that it's so tricky feels, again, like it's the last level. Like, you're feeling like, oh, this is really crappy because it's the last level.
Right.
I will say one of the bits that I really appreciate in designing this, I played this level a lot. Like
dying over and over again.
Oh yeah. A whole lot. I think this is the only one where I found something that felt like I wasn't supposed to be able to jump through and get further along.
Oh yeah, there's like a little place you can kind of glitch through.
And I use that every time. And if you do that, you don't have to worry about you have to worry about one part where you jump over the bottomless pit.
Yeah, I think it's the bit up the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a fan that pulls you up into the clucker and it hurts you, but whatever. Yeah, you skip all the undercarriage section.
Yeah, which is satisfying. But what I was gonna say is there's the part where you're having to get across where the turrets are sort of opening outward to create platforms and then going away again.
Yeah, that part kind of sucks.
Yes, it 100% does. But before you get to that spot, like from the last checkpoint, it is set up so that from the last checkpoint, if you go left and then up, there's an extra life.
At the very top of the fin.
Yeah, very top of the fin. And I really appreciate that, because if you're sort of exploring things, you find... I didn't know it was there, but yeah. I found it. And because of where it's placed at that checkpoint before something hard, it did mean that I could then just go back and get that every time I came back. And so I wasn't bleeding off lives at that spot.
Right, you were sort of stuck in limbo. And that's a great moment too, because it's just out of reach. So what you got to do is jump up and nudge it from beneath and it'll fall. And if you screw that up, it will fall on your head and kill you. You can be crushed by a one up, which
Wait,
is like
really?
amazing. Yes, that
Yeah,
happened to me.
you can hit it regular, but yeah, if you hit it from the bottom, it falls down and smashes your head.
It's a great moment of poetry. So I started the bidding at C tier. Jonathan, Wing Fortress.
I don't really like it, so I'd probably do C as well,
Okay.
but what did Mike say?
Justin said A. We both said C. Mike.
Where's Mike?
Maybe Mike Lynn's thoughts.
Mike Lund's thoughts.
I'm willing to go A for the level for
Ah.
everything except the boss.
So then it's B, right?
Yeah.
The oven fight is terrible, although it is one of those fights where it sticks in your brain because it's so
The
frustrating.
laser looks cool.
The laser does look cool.
I always wanted it. I wanted to bite the laser emitter. Does anyone else do
And
that
again,
You mean
you know what I'm saying?
the laser that's shaped like a anyway.
Does look delicious. But it also fakes you out again because it's very reminiscent of the first Sonic game's final battle.
Right.
Because
Yes.
Robotnik's sitting there watching you, and that's exactly what he kind of did in the first game. So you're like, oh, this must be the final battle.
No, I went into that final battle having used no continues yet and having, I think, 8 lives.
Okay.
I left that end battle on the boss battle on Wing Fortress
Yeah.
having used 2 to 3 continues.
Yeah, it's tough. So it's a cool battle because there are these lasers mounted on the roof, and to reach them, you need to jump on these moving platforms that have spikes on the bottom.
They look like little camp stoves.
Yeah, they look like camp stoves.
That's why we call it the oven battle.
The threat is the very thing you need to use to beat it. So I think so. Okay, so 2 A's and 2 C's.
I only got through that because I got to that thing with 162 rings or something and a shield.
The other beauty of Sonic, the rings that let you live basically forever if you can manage it.
So then that brings us to the final level of the game, Death Egg. So I thought this would be fun.
Which is S-tier!
Oh, dang it. I was gonna count it off and see if we were the same.
No, it is absolutely S-tier, and I'll punch any of you that say it's not.
Mike doesn't think it's
Uh-oh.
S-tier.
It is so incredibly atmospheric.
Yeah, so it's a Death
Is there
Star
no
sort of
music
thing.
makes
Parody.
you
Oh,
feel
there we
dread.
go.
The
Giant.
parents makes you
Yeah.
feel dread.
The music.
The fact that you have no rings makes you want to cry.
Yeah, they deny you rings. The debut of Metal Sonic.
Yeah, you are undeniably in Robotnik's house.
Yeah, and then, and you beat Metal Sonic, and you're like, okay, that was tough.
Mecha Sonic, thank you very much. Metal Sonic appeared in Sonic CD.
Sorry,
Oh, he got
sorry.
you on that
That's right,
one.
Mecha
And
and
then
Metal.
there was a weird Metal Sonic in Sonic 3 that was bad.
Yeah, all three of them are in
Oh,
that Sonic
yeah.
Adventure hidden room, in the
Yeah,
little
the
test
Metal Sonic
tubes.
in Sonic 3 was just weird. And then his. Yeah, anyway.
But like, I think that this, I also want to make an academic case. This fight against the giant Robotnik, I think, is the first moment in video games that actually is epic.
Yeah,
Like,
you see that robot and you're like, oh,
and it's the size of the screen, and you have no rings, and the music is going, and it's just.
and he's just stomping towards you.
And it feels impossible, but like a great, almost like Demon Souls kind of boss fight.
I was gonna
Once
say,
you,
it's actually Souls-like.
Souls like, yeah, once you know the mechanics, it's actually not that bad.
And the contrast between Robotnik and Sonic is just awesome because you
Yeah.
are fast but as squishy as possible.
Yes.
Whereas Robotnik is invincible but super slow.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure he's just invincible. Like, you
Yeah,
would not win
he's
the game if he was
invincible.
invincible.
But you're right, though, Justin's like, he's metal, you're flesh, you're blue, he's
Yeah, when
red.
you see that robot, you're like, oh, that's invincible. I can't do nothing about this.
Yeah. And it feels that, because, like, first, I remember when we first got there as kids, it was like, where's the weakness on this thing? It's like, oh, you have that little window when he tries to stomp you, and the momentum of his stomp makes him kind of crouch, and that's like your split second, and that's all you need. That's a S tier, I think.
And the other part that I really like is you're like, okay, maybe if I get behind him, I'll be safe. And then he just poops out a ton bunch of bombs on you.
Yeah, he sprays you with these little Robotnik-shaped mines, almost just to taunt you even
Yeah, and
further.
they just they're almost guaranteed to kill you because you have like no space and they
Yeah.
blow up.
Yeah. I am bummed, though, because we're going to get to this here when we talk about the Joy-Cons, but the 2013 re-release is widely regarded, actually, by Sega as the superior version, the one that came out on iPhone. and that's the version that was ported to Sonic Origins. And because that version supports widescreen, this whole fight is on a single screen. And it ruins the moment of running away from him, and now you can't even see Robotnik, but you still hear his footsteps approaching.
That's super spooky.
Yeah, and it's ruined by the widescreen format, because you can see him pretty, at all times.
I didn't know that happened. That's kind of sad.
Kind of makes you bummed out, right? I was like, oh, what a missed opportunity. So any objections to S tier for Death Egg?
I mean, I don't want to get punched, but I also don't have
you don't want to get punched. You don't want to get punched.
I also don't have that much of an opinion because when I finally got there, I did not get past
Mecha Sonic.
Yeah.
Well, so there is the official old switcheroo Sonic 2 zone tier list. C tier is Sky Chase Zone and Aquatic Ruin. B tier is Emerald Hill, Casino Night, Hilltop, Oil Ocean, and Wing Fortress. A tier is going to be Chemical Plant, Mystic Cave, and Metropolis. And S tier, one of the greatest final levels of any video game ever.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. Let's talk about Joy-Cons. Justin, you want to leave the Zoom call? Because we're going to criticize this game.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you all repeatedly. Every time you say a con, you're going to get a punch later.
So here, okay. So if this game is so flawless, how come as kids we never really touched the versus mode? We played this game multiple times every year, but we never did the versus mode. I don't think it's that fun. If the split screen versus...
Oh, if you're counting this, then yeah. I don't count this as part of the game.
Well, it's in the game. And it's you can race through four different apps. It's Emerald Hill, Mystic Cave, the Special Stage, and Casino Night. Those are the four levels you get.
This is the bonus DLC that gets released like 3 years later because they were obligated to do it.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away from the game because this didn't need to be here. You know, the game was already perfect. So.
I mean, in fairness, it was one of the first times, like very few side-scrollers kind of had this sort of thing going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Versus just thrown in for the heck of it.
Right.
Like, the cost of the game was easily paid for with the game itself, and then you got this. It was like, okay, I'll take this bonus. Why not?
Yeah. And I remember you can change the different types of items you get, so you can change it to all teleportation boxes, where it makes you swap places with your opponent.
Oh, yeah.
So you could just deliberately lose and just collect that teleportation box and then steal the victory at the last minute, but it's a split screen, so they can see you doing that, too. So it's...
Well, and your opponent sees you setting that up in the
game.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, like, there's going to be a surprise.
There is also that doesn't account for you don't win just by being the first to the end.
Because sometimes you have to get the most rings. Oh, is it all by points, Mike?
There's five categories.
Oh.
This is what I was messing around with, is I wanted to see if you could basically not get there first but still do all right on that.
I understand now. So we played this right before recording, and I would get to the end of the level really fast, and then Mike would deliberately just dink around until Tails died from a timeout, and I was like, what are you doing? You were trying to get points to surpass my level and take a victory, snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat.
Yeah, and it does seem that you just... So the five things are your total rings, your rings at the end, your time, the number of the item boxes, and points. And so it looks at who did better in each of those five, and whoever won in most of those wins.
I think the problem, though, is that you get too many points by getting first. Because, Justin, Jonathan, do you ever remember playing two-player versus and losing to someone who got second place in the race?
I don't think so.
I don't remember that ever happening.
I don't think so, but like I said, we didn't play it that much.
I feel like the rings set you far enough ahead that that's only possible. Surmountable if someone does very good at the rings but then loses them near the end.
Gotcha.
So that you could finish with more. But I think just... finishing first gives you enough rings, which I think is a reasonable balance. Like, it should be, if you finish the level first, having that kind of put sort of a thumb on the scale to win overall, I'm like, I'm not taking a problem with that.
Does anyone else have any Joy-Cons or criticisms? Because my final Joy-Con is not really the fault of the game. It's sort of like the circumstances surrounding the game.
I mean, I'm actually just going to counter the Joy-Con that, like, all my fond memories of this game, almost all of them, are the two-player, because I didn't own the game, and that was the way that I got to actually play it.
Yeah. This is a multiplayer game in your memory.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Okay, wait. If I gotta offer one con, what makes
he's gonna punch himself on the Zoom!
I gotta punch myself on the Zoom. I will say, the one thing I think that it I have mixed feelings on is the number of lives and continues that it gives you.
Too many.
There's no stress in not finishing the game because of how many it gives you. But at the same time, like Mike said, that's kind of nice because it lets you explore, it lets you make mistakes. It lets you do a lot of stuff without necessarily just screwing yourself in, 2 seconds.
Sure. Yeah, but there is some tension lost.
So it's a mixed bag for me. I
Yeah.
don't like it in some ways, but I really like it in others.
Well, so what I just don't like is that Nintendo Switch Online Retro Catalog, if you know, to play this, you need to subscribe to the expansion pack, which is an extra $30 a year on top of the 20 that you're paying to just play retro games. Extra
Yeah, that's
30
not
gets you.
Sonic's though.
No, it's not Sonic's fault. But what's weird is that this game is in the catalog, but not the original Sonic. And that just, it feels off. It's weird, right?
That's a weird licensing thing with Sega for sure.
Wasn't Sonic 2 one of the ones that was on like the six game cartridge?
Six pack, yeah, the Sega six pack.
I think all
Oh
six
no,
of
I'm
the
sorry,
games.
sorry. Sonic six pack had the original. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was Sonic 1 on there, I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure.
Okay. 100%, I know that was. Because we didn't have a regular Sonic. No, we did. We had the six pack and the old Sonic
I
one.
think we had both, yeah.
We had both. So that's weird. But then, you know, Nintendo Switch Online is n not the ideal way to play this game. Because in 2013, they did a re-release. And that was for iPhone and Android. And that's the version that is on Sonic Origins Plus. And what is different about it, in addition to polygonal special stages, same layout, but it's just they kind of look a little bit smoother because they use polygons. You can also, in Sonic Origins and in the Sega Ages, which you can purchase individually in the Switch store, you can play as Knuckles in Sonic 2 because Sonic and Knuckles was released with the lock-on technology where
So
you could
cool.
plug Sonic 2 into the Sonic and Knuckles cartridge and it would let you play Sonic 2 as Knuckles. You can't do that in here. The Nintendo Switch Online does not have that option.
Aw.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Could you also have Knuckles in Sonic 1?
No,
No.
if you put it if you Sonic
Oh, it
1
was
would
just
give
2 and
you
3. That's right. Okay.
and Sonic 1 would give you a unique special stage.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
So
It kind
pretty
of
cool that they even bothered to do that.
and it wasn't even advertised. That was just like a little secret. But so the 2013 re-release that's in Sonic Origins does include the Hidden Palace Zone. They have recreated this. This was originally a cut level that would explain the origins of the Chaos Emeralds. It had dinosaur-themed badniks. It had a musical boss fight where Robotnik is t attacking you with his giant organ. You can
That'd
access
be a
this by.
trombone.
Well, it's an
Oh,
organ
there's an
back.
organ back
Yeah, I was gonna
there. He's got a
say,
trombone.
he's got a trombone on top, he's got a trumpet in the front, and he's got like clarinets on the side or something there.
Yeah, those are like
And so it's just neat because the only reason this level exists is because a thief stole a prototype cartridge from the 1992 New York City Toy Fair. That ended up on eBay in 1999. It was purchased by a Sonic fan named Simon Y, and he data mined it and gifted the code to the modding community. And that's how Sonic Mania's Christian Whitehead was able to resurrect it, recreate it, and include it
So
in.
stealing stuff is okay and
It's
cool.
weird. Yeah, it's kind of a gray area. It's like a happy ending to a thievery story, but it's highly likely that that code would have been lost to time if that hadn't happened.
Weirdly reminds me of, I think the we stole it and now it's out there kind of thing is, I think that's how they got the Invisible Man into League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, is it's like some weird, like, stole the formula and now we still have an Invisible Man that we wouldn't have otherwise had. It's like, that's feels like a
Well, it's
lot of extra
also
work.
literally what AI CEOs are using to justify their business model. It's like, well, we're stealing from everyone, so. Well, anything else to say before we move to our ranking, guys?
I'll include it in my ranking.
Oh my.
I don't follow. What do you mean?
I have something to say, and I'm just gonna put it in my ranking because it's about how it's a good game.
Well, why don't you go first, Jonathan? Let's declare the game's Nintendo's or Nintendo's. Jonathan, start us off.
Well, I'm going to say this definitely Nintendo, because
Yes.
anybody who wants to appreciate Sonic needs to play this game, because I would say this game really establishes Sonic as the character that he is. The first game's cool, but it's still, he feels like a video game character. But this game, Robotnik is such a good villain. It really allows you to see what kind of hero Sonic is. And something that goes back to like that final stage, you're like, I'm going to beat this robot. The thing is, Sonic is naturally very fast. But he is a hero because he does not give up. And like, it's so cool. You really feel that when you're playing this game through the whole thing. So you've got to play Sonic 2 if you want to appreciate Sonic.
So is it a Super Nintendo?
It's a new Super Nintendo. Like, this made Sonic, he's like the same kind of hero as Spider-Man. Like,
Yeah.
they don't give up, they get it done, and then this game shows you the origin of that.
Yeah, I agree, and that very well said. Is you're right. This is the first moment where it feels like the Sonic character we know and love.
Yeah.
And I would add too that you also get the fact that he cares about others because he's taking care of Tails, who is stated to be
That's true.
a young kid that admires him and he takes him under his wing.
Yeah. There's so much storytelling for a game that doesn't have a single screen of text to
Right.
read.
Whereas Tail takes Sonic over his wing.
Right. Dun-dun-dun-sh. And
But
also, it's funny you talk about all
on.
this, subtle storytelling. Like, this is one of the first games I can think of that had a cutscene, at the end of
Actually,
the
that's pretty
game.
great too. You're right. Tails has a little bit of an arc because
Yeah.
he proves his helpfulness in his own way by being an ace pilot.
Yeah, and that's we never
Yeah.
talked about that, but you see him get shot down, and then at the end of the next level, Robotnik has escaped onto the spaceship and he's gone. And you're like, that's it. And then Tails comes roaring back with the repaired plane that now has a jet engine attached to it.
So cool.
Yeah,
And
the
you're like,
same
let's
plane that helps you beat
go!
Robotnik.
Actually, while you're talking Tails, we have not actually addressed how great his name is.
Tails,
Miles,
miles
Tails per
per
hour.
hour.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. One of the best game names of all time.
He was based on an anime character and a Kitsune character from a Phantasy Star series, which we're going to get to, Mike. And his original name was just Miles Prower. And everyone's like, no one's going to get that joke. Just make his
You
nickname
know, it's a good
Tails.
one.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, his nickname is Tails. So, I mean, Justin, you're obviously. I mean, so is this still your favorite game of all time?
It's my favorite game of all time. If you have not played it, you should go out and buy a Switch just to download this or play get this game in some way. I
Yeah.
have purchased this game in every possible iteration, including like when it was on like a Sonic collection for like PC back in like 1990.
I remember that thing. That thing was cool.
Yeah, I have deliberately purchased this game probably 50 different times.
Yeah, and you don't regret it in the
And I
slightest.
do not regret a single one of those purchases because I've also, if I purchased it 50 times, I've played at least twice for every purchase.
Gotcha. Mike, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, where you landing?
I mean, even though there's a few levels that really frustrate me. Like I said, Metropolis is
Yeah.
just feels like a chore to me.
Like
But
Tropolis.
the music, at least, is always good. Like I'm hard pressed to think of a game where the music just across the board, it feels so good. Not just iconic, but just good. That I think really, given this game's origins, I am going to not give this our normal rankings. I'm going to say this is a mega do.
What? Is
A
that better
mega?
than a Super Do?
No. He said because of the Mega Drive. He's being cute with that.
Aha, I
The,
like
or the Mega Mac? Could be a Mega Mac
Mega
reference.
Mac. No,
where this was the Mega Drive reference. But yeah, no, I think it's a, I think this is a Super Nintendo. I think it's a
So I think
very
this is one of
solid
the
game.
easiest recommends I've ever given. I think this is officially our most positively rated game we've played so far, Mike. It's fast, it's fun, it's in the conversation often for best game of all time. And it has the sense of drama, sense of adventure, and its impact on the gaming industry, it's still rippling even into modern game design. So I think we should bestow this the highest ranking this podcast has ever done, a Nintendo 64, I think.
Oh my goodness. What about Nintendo
Yeah, Wii U, Nintendo, Mike's thoughts. It's a must-play game, and but there's better ways to play it. So don't subscribe to Nintendo Switch Online to get this version. It's honestly just cheaper to get it in other ways, but you gotta get it. It's fantastic. Well, my friends, that brings us to the end of our episode. We're gonna call it game over for today. So the final scores are just Nintendos across the board. Justin, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us again. I listened to
Woohoo,
our episodes over and over again. This would not have been the same without you guys. You guys are Sonic 2 in my
I mean, I had
mind,
to show
so.
up for the literal best game that's ever been made in the history of games.
had to represent. So this
Yeah,
has been a blast through the past, you guys.
I'm sorry that there will never be a better game on the Switcheroo. I mean,
I mean, it'd
it's
be interesting.
possible.
When we do get through all 200 games, I wonder, Mike, if we want to go through and try to rank them all. That could be a potential series
I mean, this will
finale.
be number one, so just put it that way.
That made it easy.
Yeah, you're done. You don't need to play any other game. Everybody just listen to this episode. Play Sonic
So, Mike,
2.
I think we can wrap up the
Yeah, your life is
podcast. I think
complete now.
we
Like, you're done.
we're done.
You've reached the pinnacle.
So join us next time when Mike and I will literally be diving deeper in the Nintendo Switch online catalog in our epic quest to research and review them all. Next on the docket, the oceanic side-scroller Echo the Dolphin on the Sega Genesis. I don't know if Jonathan might be a part of that one. I don't know. He's got something to say about it.
Echo's spooky. I don't like Echo.
That one is a special one.
It's weird. I don't know if Mike is familiar with that, but it's got some twists and turns. I don't think Mike's going to be expecting at all.
If Mike's never played Echo, he's in for a treat. Yeah. And so are your listeners.
I mean,
yeah.
At time of recording, I have played the beginning part of Echo and could not get out of it. That is what I remember as a child. It's painful to
play, but it is freaking iconic. Only ranks up there with Calibri, maybe Echo, but
Calibri, arguably the greatest hummingbird-based shooter on the Sega 32X.
Yeah, you better make a Patreon episode for that.
I mean, if you'll come and do a bonus episode about Calibri, I will.
Hell yeah,
that's a done deal.
Maybe the second best game that's ever made.
It's not a done deal, is this outro. Everyone, visit www.theoldswitcheroo.com. There you can find links to our Spotify, Discord, YouTube, TikTok, and all the social medias you can shake a joystick at. You can even leave us an old-timey voicemail, meaning we would literally love to hear from you. Please like, comment, and subscribe and review. As always, thanks for listening to The Old Switcheroo, where we've been all been talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I've been Mike.
And I've been JMO. Game on, everyone.
Lund.
You just do a musical stinger. You know, this podcast was my idea.
Yeah, but who's the mind? Who's the mastermind creating it and shaping it? I mean,
definitely right, Mike, to make this a single game episode.
Well, yeah, because otherwise we're going to add on, like, and by the way, here's Rystar.
Here's a game that no one actually played.